Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Well, it's our great pleasure this morning to be joined by none other than Stephen Curtis Chapman. Good morning, Stephen.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Now, great news for you. I just got a call from Australian Customs. It's nothing bad. They basically said that your Australian residency has just been approved.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. G'day. All right. I got to work on my my accent, though, so you guys are going to have to work with me on that. But that's perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can learn a little bit of lingo. We'll educate you a bit on that.
Yeah, cool.
In all seriousness, would you actually love to live in Australia one day? Because we'd love to have you here.
Well, you know what? I think I would. In fact, my son, Caleb, who's playing guitar with me today and here at the conference, and my daughter, Emily, who just flew in this morning from the States from working at a summer camp, they really have talked a lot about living here for a while, for a season, maybe going to school here. In fact, wanting to look at Hillsong College and different things. And my other son, Will Franklin, who's 16, who's my drummer right now, has also talked about coming with him. So, you know, there's a very good chance that three of my six children could end up over here. And we spend a lot of time in China, which this is already on the right side of the ocean from, you know, America for China. So, hey, it makes sense. It works well. So if somebody out there has a house that, you know, they just don't know what to do with, and they have a place, you know, that they need to donate to the cause, you know, who knows? It could happen.
There you go. Just call the station. We'll hook it up.
That's right. Yeah. I love it.
Now, you touched on your family a minute ago. Can you tell us about your natural family and also your extended family?
Absolutely. I have a daughter, Emily, who's 21 years old now, which is it's kind of crazy, I know, because I'm really a young guy, and I was only like 12 when she was born, which is kind of a freak thing. No, I'm kidding. I was not that young. I was 22, and she is now 21, so it's pretty amazing to have a grown daughter. My sons are 17 and 16, so those are our three kids my wife and I have by natural children. And then we have what we like to refer to as our supernatural children, because they have made a supernatural effect in our lives. And there are three daughters adopted from China. 7-year-old Johanna, Stevie Joy is 4 3/4, as she likes to point out, and Maria is 4. And we adopted these three daughters at different times from China. Just something that amazing we never really saw coming for many years. But our daughter Emily, when she was quite a bit younger, she was about 12, she started talking to us about needing a little sister. Would we consider adoption? And we told her, you know, that we're going to support that. We know as Christians particularly, it's very clear in Scripture, God's heart for orphans of the world. So we thought, well, we need to support that. But, you know, we're already through having children. We're not going to have more babies and all of that. But it was really a miracle that God did in our family to bring these three girls into our home. And now we can't imagine life, of course, without them. We started a foundation to help other families to adopt. The expenses of adoption can sometimes prohibit someone from adopting. And the fact that there's 140 million orphans in the world, there's a lot of families that would give them homes, especially Christian families, that we want to really see be able to do that. So we started helping those families as well as helping with orphan relief in different places in the world. So that's kind of become the joy of our lives. I mean, that's kind of become our passion now.
This theme of adoption, and especially of orphans, that is coming out more and more, and we see this, and it's something you're so very passionate about. Draw on this more for us. Why would someone want to consider adopting an orphan? I mean, you give the stats, it might seem obvious, but tell about the rewards that you've seen in your life with your adopted children.
Well, I mean, it really is something that we found a verse in the Scripture, actually, in Isaiah, that says that God will give us treasures in secret places, or it says treasures in the hidden places. It's like hidden treasures that we feel like God kind of has for us. And we never knew this as a family. We never, you know, we thought, oh man, three kids is great. You know, life is full. And we never knew that God had these riches. And even though on one hand it looked to us like, man, that's going to be such a hard thing to have kids again and babies and more children in the home and the expense and the headache and the, you know, all of that. And it's not been all easy, but the blessing that's brought, when people come to us and say, man, that's such a great thing you did for that child. And every adoptive family will tell you this, with no exception. you don't know how to respond to that because you always want to say to that person, I know what you're saying, but the truth is we're the ones that are blessed. You know, we're the ones who really, really have been blessed so much more than anything we could have done for our daughters, what they've brought into our lives, not just the joy and the richness of just experiencing life with them and watching the miracle of a child that otherwise would have had no hope, watching that hope come alive in them, but the deepening of our understanding of what it is that really God has done for us. That's the greatest, I think, the greatest prize from this or treasure from this is just a deeper understanding of, man, this is what it really means to say God is my Father. You know, it's such a profound way of understanding it now.
We're about to play Remembering You. Tell us about this song. Set it up for us.
Well, I had an opportunity to be a part of the Chronicles of Narnia soundtrack. I got a script actually way ahead of the movie. A buddy of mine that works at Disney said, hey, we're going to make this film. I know you love C.S. Lewis. I know you love this story. Write a song. And I started then, and I wrote about four or five songs. But for me, the most profound thing about this movie, this film, and this story is it really does it causes me to remember the message of the gospel. I mean, the fact that we have been rescued as Aslan, you know, all the representation there, all the, you know, the analogies in that film. And for me, it really was just a way for me to remember really my story, you know, what I believe God has done for me. And so for that reason, I wrote this song, Remembering You.
Talking with Stephen Curtis Chapman here this morning, we touched on just before about your passion for orphans and adoption and your organization. Tell us about that.
Well, we got home from China March of 2000. We got off the plane. We had our little daughter with us, Johanna. Our other kids were with us. Everybody made the trip to China the first time. And we got to the airport, and there were hundreds of people there to greet us, all of our friends and family, and so many people had come to kind of show their support. But by the time we got from the airport, from the airplane door to our car, we had had at least four or five families that had stopped us and said, you know, man, we just watch you guys and we see the joy and we have dreamt of doing this someday, of adopting a child from China, from Russia, from, you know, U.S., wherever. We just thought about and looked into adoption, but we saw the price tag, how expensive it was, and we just said there's no way we could afford it. And when my wife, who had just walked through the orphanages of China, looked into the faces of hundreds of children without families, and she's looking at a family saying, we'd take one, we just don't have the money. Well, my wife kind of just, I mean, she went, are you kidding? Well, how much do you need? She started like writing checks, you know, I'll help you, we'll help you. And I realized there's this huge need. I mean, people started forming a line, you know, it's like, hey, we want to adopt, you know, it's like this long line of people. And I'm thinking, we can't do this alone. We need to invite the church, you know, other Christians, other people that want to help these families. And we need to encourage families to really not give up on this, if this is something that God has put in their heart. And maybe in the process, even tell more families to consider it, think about it, you know. And so that's why we started Johanna's Hope. We named it after our daughter, Johanna Hope is her name. And but the amazing thing is what we realized after a few years is if we shorten it, it really is Show Hope. And we call our daughter Showy and Show a lot. It's really showing hope to the world. I mean, we realize that if we really care for orphans, I mean, the Bible says pure and undefiled religion, care for orphans and widows. And we found that the more we do that as those who profess to be followers of Jesus and his ways, we find that people begin to really take us seriously. They say, well, you know, they're not just saying this, and it's not just their kind of religious talk, but they're putting their life where their mouth is. And if we can encourage that, we feel like it's something that we really want to do. And so we've, of course, got a website set up, and to date, we've helped over 1,300 families with grants. We give grants to families. Basically, they just submit paperwork to us saying we're in the process of adopting, and here's our process, and we ask for some, you know, information. And then from that, we try as many as we can. We have to turn a lot of families away because we just don't have the funds. I mean, we could give away, you know, millions of dollars to adoptive families. We've so far, you know, given away several million, but we need millions more, you know, because there's a lot of families in line. I mean, we have thousands that we have to turn away each year. So we're hoping we can eventually help all of them. But it's just been, you know, it's been an amazing thing for us. It's probably, in a lot of ways, I feel like it may be the whole reason why I've done all this for 20 years. Is to have a platform to talk about the children that don't have a voice to speak for themselves and to tell people that they're there, that they're waiting for their miracle.
Now, just a couple of quick things behind the scenes of Stephen Curtis Chapman. As you get ready to make the move to Australia, on your iPod, apart from all the Hillsong, Rebecca St. James and Newsboys and all the Aussie artists, what else have you got on your iPod at the moment?
Well, let me think here, because I just did actually some a little bit of last-minute downloading before I headed this way. All legal downloading, of course. But I had picked up a new CD. Paul McCartney's new CD is actually very cool. I was very, very excited about that. I love a band named Leland. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those guys yet, but amazing new artists. They just finished their second record. I just finished an album, so I have to say that, honestly, because I'm still in the process of finalizing the mastering and all that, I've been listening a lot to my new record, which I think is pretty good. I'm maybe a little biased, but I've been so it's kind of a mixture. Actually, I listen to orchestral music. I love movie soundtracks. You know, I'll be listening to soundtrack from some, John Williams, score from something. A little bit of classical, not so much. Some blues. I love Johnny Lang's new record. Is an amazing record. Keb Moe, love that kind of stuff. So I kind of listen to all different styles of music. Some, some rock, some pop. Just kind of mix it all in.
I didn't realize they made iPods that big.
Yeah, really. Yeah, this is the 85,000 gig, Yeah.
Now, what about your mobile phone? What ringtones have you got set?
Oh, that's funny because, I don't really, I'm very boring in that sense. I don't have a lot. Although my one that I've been carrying around internationally with me is a rooster crowing, which is kind of fun, My little girls think it's hilarious. But whenever my phone rings, all you hear is this rooster going off somewhere. It's like, uh-oh, get the rooster. My ringtones are pretty boring, actually. I haven't gotten anything, any songs or any MP3s or whatever. I think I've just got your standard ring, boring kind of thing going.
Fantastic. Well, Stephen Curtis Chapman, we better let you go. You've got a big night ahead of you, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.